I'm talking with Paul Graves, local author and lead geezer at Elder Advocates. Paul has a fun new book out, Socks Looks for Home. I'll say that again, Socks Looks for Home, written by Paul Graves and illustrated by Julie Coyle. So welcome, Paul, and thanks for joining me on Zoom to talk about your new book. It's very exciting. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and I'm pleased to have a chance to share with your audience something about the book. It's been a great project for me.
Well, we're going to delve right into it. I finally had a chance to look at it and read it this morning. So cute. It appears to be a warmly and whimsically illustrated book about a cat. It may be geared towards children, but I found many metaphorical references that any adult could be inspired or moved by. So tell us about the book. Who is it geared towards? Who is the audience? Let's just get into it. It's your book. Let's hear from you.
Okay. The impetus for the book happened, of course, because of the story. It's a true story. But the written part of it is almost true because it's I put the story in the words of Socks, our cat. Very basically, when we moved to another house, which was about almost 2 miles away from our old house, in the space of the first 2 months, he ran away three times and ended up back at the old house, which surprised us. We didn't know that cats did that. We knew dogs did, but not cats. And so we usually take our cat to the North Idaho Animal Hospital. So I was checking in with him on a regular basis when he was gone. And after the third time that we retrieved him, we put him under house arrest for 6 months, and I let the animal hospital folks know. One of the staff members said, "Paul, you're a writer. You ought to write that story. That's a great story." Well, I let that percolate for a number of months, because I had never written a children's story before. I've written all of my adult life, but they've been sermons and columns and articles of one kind or another. Never anything like this. And then one day I just decided, okay, well, let's see what happens. So I started writing the story. And I wanted to aim it at an audience of children roughly 7 to 12 years old. And that's how I was writing it. The language, fortunately, is geared toward children. But long after I've finished writing the story and I started getting feedback from a variety of people, I began to realize that the story had layers of meaning that I did not consciously intend. And some of them are what you were referring to as those metaphorical images.
You know, one of the things that stood out to me is that Socks, the cat, it's a story, it's a conversation between Socks and Pepper, another cat, at the animal hospital. And Socks is narrating his own story. So it led me to think, what is Socks really like in your life? I mean, first of all, it's a story for children, basically. And we know children love animals.
Correct.
But what kind of a cat is Socks? He seems like in the book, he seems like a really fun, adventurous kind of cat. But tell us a little bit about Socks, the cat, from your point of view as living with Socks. And Socks is still alive. And so what is Socks like as a cat?
Well, Socks is, he's a special animal. We've had 8 cats over the course of over 50 years of owning cats. And And he stands out as perhaps more independent than any of the cats we've had, except for our first one. And we discovered he was standoffish for the longest time. He didn't like to be he wasn't a lap cat. He was affectionate to us when he wanted to be affectionate to us, but not for very long. Even after the first run, his behavior began to change. He began to get more affectionate. He began to become a lap cat a little bit. And he had been, prior to that, he had been standoffish to people he didn't know. And after that first run, we happened to have some out-of-town visitors come by prearrangement just after we got him back the first time. And he started getting into their laps. Suddenly we thought, oh, well, he's going to be just fine. He's changing his behavior. Well, as the book shows, he found two other opportunities to get away, and he did. But now we have a cat door on our back door, and the backyard is now fully escape proof. We have a 6-foot vinyl fence. He can't climb it, but he was going under it before. And so he goes in and out at will, and he seems to be content with that.
It sounds like his runs, that's when he went back to the old house.
That's right.
Three times, and he talks about it in the story from his point of view, what it was like, and each time it was a different adventure, but now it sounds like he's kind of settled down and you can trust him to go outside at will. Kind of want to get a little bit into, you kind of already talked about what inspired the story but what was the process like? Like you said, you've never written a children's story, so it's a whole different view. And I just want to remind our listeners, I'm talking with Paul Graves. He just wrote a book. He's a local author. The name of the book is Socks Looks for Home. And so we're talking about the book, the cat, and now we're talking a little bit about the process that you went through, Paul.
Okay. After I wrote the story, I made contact with two young girls, 7 and 11 at the time, that were part of their family as part of our church. And I wanted to get some feedback from them as to, one, whether it's a good story, two, whether it's understandable at their reading level and conceptual level. And so they became my first unofficial focus group. And they gave me really good feedback, very helpful. Subsequently, I shared it. Well, one was 7, one was 11. And then I shared it with two other children about the age of 7. That I knew, and they gave me good feedback. That helped me reform the story a little bit. And so they're part of my dedication page, because without their feedback, it wouldn't have been as good a story as it might be.
Well, I think that was really smart, because how are we supposed to know? And I'm sure, like you said, that they gave you good feedback on how the story is supposed to be. How can you make it? And I love how it is from the cat's point of view. That's really cool. Let's talk a little bit about Julie Coyle. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right now?
Yes, you are.
Okay, Julie Coyle, very talented illustrator. I think I use the word whimsical. I see that's in your dedication too. But how did you find her? And boy, she really captured not just, I don't know what your cat looks like, but the expressions in this book that the cat has, but also you and mm-hmm. your wife. So tell me about Julie and how that process also took place. And
okay.
you lucked out finding a great illustrator. Book.
I did. It was very fortunate. And I'm still not quite sure how that happened, except I had sent an email to some friends in the area. I had talked with one illustrator here in town, and we had a really good conversation about art and how she portrays this. She read the story, she liked the story, but we thought that there might be another way of illustrating it than the particular style that she uses. So I put the word out to some friends, and it just happened that one of the friends lives in Pullman, and he knows Julie from prior time. And he said, this young lady just might be willing to look at this. And so I got in touch with her. I sent her the story. She really liked the story. And she has a very small website of her artwork. And so I looked at it and was impressed. There's one of the things that we've liked from the very beginning in Julie's artwork is that there's a lot of energy to it. And so actually I checked her email or her website. I told my family about it, asked them their opinion. And so eventually Julie and my wife and I got together for coffee in Spokane. And this was like in August of 2020. So we were still in the pandemic phase, but being careful. And we just had a wonderful relational introduction. And we've done a lot of conversation via email, FaceTime, Zoom, and she's been terrific.
So one quick question. The way she portrays the cat, Socks, is so cute. It's so different. It's almost, I don't know how to explain it, but, and I do see the movement and the energy in the illustrations. Did she get to meet Socks?
Well, she did. Yes. Yeah. She and her husband came to Sandpoint in October of 2020. They had reason for being up in North Idaho. And so they spent a couple hours with us. And of course she met Socks and she saw our house. She took pictures around. She even asked me to send a selfie of Sue and me so that she could represent us as, you know, in her unique way. And she and Socks got along great. He was very, very responsive to her. She has had cats in the past, so she knows their temperament, and so she has the term that I've been using recently, Susie, about her illustrations, is that she brought some visual magic to the story.
I just noticed that. Actually, I know exactly what you're talking about. When Socks got locked up in that wire cage and the door went bang, and you look at Socks' face, you actually feel what that cat, just by looking at the face. Or when he finally gets home and you take him out of the cage and he rubs up against the chair, you can feel, that's how cats feel. You can feel what a cat feels.
Yeah,
she did get that. I guess a magic is a good word to use.
I think it is. She's an exceptional illustrator. I've told her on more than one occasion that I hope the book sells well and fairly widespread so that she can get some recognition for her work.
Well, that leads me to the next question. How are you marketing this? What is it like to market a book, a book that's, I don't know if you're self-published or not? Well,
I went through Keoki Publishing, and they set the book up. Or I should say Julie and I went through Keoki, and then they put me in touch with a printer that does print on demand. And so the marketing is pretty much up to me. The printer does have access to what they identify like 39,000 booksellers and libraries. And it's on Amazon, it's on, it's even on Target, somebody told me. I didn't know that Target had online books, but Barnes and Noble. And
hey, there you go. So you're probably getting some movement on the sales right now.
A little bit. And I hope that people who get the book, particularly who get the book on Amazon, will write a review. Mm-hmm. There are some reviews on there, not many yet, but some. I've only had the book since June 15th. That was the publication date. And as it happened, I received my first shipment of books on that particular date. I have since, a little over a week ago, I received a second shipment, and I've gotten rid of over 200 books. So
there you go. That's a start.
It's been mostly, all of that has been my doing. Mm-hmm. Getting some out to bookstores on consignment, as well as selling them personally. And I didn't ever think that I was going to be writing a children's book, let alone marketing one. But it's been kind of fun because I believe the book is a really fun book.
Well, I can guarantee you it is. It's really cute. I love cats myself. And I think Sox is just the greatest cat, and you've really captured the essence of this. And yeah, you do have to get it out there, but over time, it would make a great gift for a child or an adult, as we talked about the metaphors of finding your home and realizing that home is, you know, where it's at. It's where the heart is. And I think you and Sue must have given Sox a heartfelt welcome to your home when he first came. So just in wrapping it up, any other plans for any other books on the horizon now that you're a published children's author?
There have been some people asking me about that. In fact, just this morning, I was talking with a neighbor about, and she was asking me about another book. And I don't have a particular notion in mind. I don't think I'm going to do a sequel to Sox, but I might try something else. And one of the reasons that I'd like to do something is Julie and I have decided we want to collaborate on another project.
There you go. That's how it all works. Networking.
Yeah. It's been such a treat to work with her. I don't want to give that up. So, we're playing with a couple ideas.
Sounds good, Paul. Anything else that you'd like to say about the book? Where to find it here in town, possibly?
That's standpoint. Yes. Currently, it's Vanderford's has some on consignment. Corner Bookstore has some books. Bonner County Historical Museum has some of the books. They've got a little gift area. And last Saturday, just before I did a book signing at Vanderford's, I took some books to DeLuna's. Karen Forsyth wanted to put some in their gift area. So, and I've got books up in Bonner's Ferry at the Bonner's Bookstore. There are some copies at the Well-Read Moose in Coeur d'Alene, and hopefully I'll get some into Spokane at some point. But I've got, I do a coffee time at Tango just almost every weekday morning, and I've gotten into the habit of taking some books with me. So
you can find the Paul Graves, the author of Socks Looks for Home, at Tango and get a book directly from the author. Probably get it signed if you wanted.
Yep, and, they're all signed.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I do really thank you for giving us a glimpse into the process and a little picture of this awesome book that you have created with the illustrator, Julie Coyle. I think anyone would be happy to have a copy of this. So it's available also on Amazon, but you know, let's buy it locally. It's always a good thing, right?
It is.
Yeah. So Paul, thanks for taking the time to talk with me and share your backstory here on Socks Looks for Home. Thanks, Paul Graves.
Thank you, Susie. It's fun to do.
Yeah, it's been fun.